B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Money at 5, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Real quick, Alex, go ahead.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Fred, sorry. Hey. I called in sick today.
Cool.
And it's something that I think a lot of us get guilt-tripped about.
I agree.
So... Nick is like as funny sounding as Matt McCarthy.
There's an agenda here, but I'm not quite getting to it.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he called your advertisers and sent them clips from the show that you've been missing.
Oh,
I knew it.
I saw the angle, baby.
What's happening?
I saw it coming. I wanted to get to it. All right. Listen. By the way, that was poor, and then it's gaps in. I just wanted to get right to it.
Sure.
All right. Ty Anderson. You know him. He writes for 98.5thesportshub.com. He covers the Bruins. He's very active on Twitter, including consistently bitching about not being on shows.
I miss you guys.
Is that the reason?
Ty, you're not doing yourself any favors doing that. I just got news for you. When people
I'm not bitching. People have been tweeting at me being like, where have you been? How come you're not on this? How come you're not on that? I don't know what to say to these people, but I don't want to ignore them.
Don't say anything.
But I don't have fans like you, man. I got like 10 people that like me.
I don't have fans.
Are you kidding me? People love you. People love this show. They like you guys.
We'll see. We'll see when we get older.
So because I legitimately been wanting you on for a while. I told you at the beginning of the season we tried to get you on.
Yeah, I remember that. And then I thought I died.
Yes, and then that was the case. You were so awful that we didn't want you on again. Honestly, we've been trying to get around to it.
Yeah.
But now I feel like... Do I even feel that good anymore about bringing you on?
Because give me a ban again. Okay. Give me like a 2-month ban. Like Jan 1, I can be back on. Okay, Until then, I'm gone.
All right. So we want to have you on.
Yeah.
Will you promise not to bitch about being on?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Of course.
That's a deal. All right.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that.
Because, it's not, I think it's a cumulative effect because not only you doing it, but like Dan Livshatz and Joe Murray have become insufferable. Like they're bitching about not getting paid. And what I think is funny is that, like, Mike Thomas is going to look at it and go, you know what? This is a great tactic. Piss me off. And you're not doing that, Ty.
No, you're not doing that.
This shows off his list.
No, you're not doing that.
No,
but,
no but I if I'm being legit with you guys, I really enjoy talking with you guys.
No, we love having you on the show.
Because you guys, like, when I came over here, you guys were the first people that reached out to me.
Sure.
And you've always been, like, and I love the discussions we have because we talk about more than just hockey.
Yeah, of course.
And we have common interests. So I like that. I think I missed you guys, and I missed, get ideas from this, too.
You're not an answer robot. You know, you ever guest in the studio where it's like they've got the list of questions, ask the answer robot.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be.
Stats. No, I mean.
No. But I truly missed doing this. Like, honestly, I don't want to be that guy who bitches about things, but I truly miss doing this because I think this does help in terms of getting ideas for what I want to talk about, what works, what people hate, things like that.
Well, so. I can see it. Your heart's in the right place. You missed that. Okay, well, I like
even
it.
Battling the traffic in.
Too, sir.
So I was reading an article, and there was an executive, and I forgot who wrote it. Doesn't matter. I don't think it was you. And there was an NHL executive that was not really all in on the Bruins being a cup. They weren't all in on the Bruins winning the cup.
What was their justification?
Despite the start. Is their youth that can come in and
top heavy, the whole nine yards,
everything, you know, where's the youth? Are they too top heavy?
But it seems like there's all these things kind of not being answered, but
It's very early.
The second line is starting to find its like they're getting scoring a little bit more now for more than just that first line.
But sort of. Okay, so are you bullish on them right now? It's so early in the season. But
it can't stay this good this long. I mean, like for the entire season, right? I mean, this is what they're doing right now is, I mean, they're a wagon.
Yeah, no, that they are the things that were their strengths last year are still their strengths, and they're better. Their goaltending has been better. The first line is playing better than they were last year. The power play is even better. So that's not sustainable. And I think that's when it comes down to this, the bottom half of the roster. That's where the concerns are, right? Like, is Krejci going to be healthy this year? Is DeBrusk going to be healthy this year? If you don't have a second line, you're not going anywhere. Like, that's clear. So that's a big question. They have to replace Marcus Johansson at some point. Is that internal, external? We don't know yet. Bjork has looked good. Sinishin has looked good in the games that he's played. He only played two games.
What is your feeling on Sinishin? Because, I mean, he gets so much hate. I understand that he's a first-round pick. I understand in one of the picks they didn't want, but he was one of the first-round picks. Picks I think they panicked on because they didn't think they were going to be taken.
They only hit on one of the three so far.
So far. And you agree with me. I think that they had no intention going into that day that they were going to be taken.
As a matter of fact, if you remember during that draft day, and Ty, you can back me up on this, Sinishin was considered the wild reach of the three.
He was. He was projected to go in the second round by many. They saw something they liked.
Okay, but you made a good point, is that you compared him to Marchand in his development.
Yeah, it's a long road for Sinishin. I mean, go back to Marchand. He made his debut in the 2009-2010 season. He played 20 games. He had 1 point, I think. You know, it was a slow ride for him. And then he began the following year on the fourth line. He was part of that line with Thornton and Campbell. And then he elevated.
I forgot about that.
By the year's end, he was a first liner. It was a slow development. He played over 100 AHL games before he was even up here. So I don't want to say that Sinishin is going to be the next Brad Marchand. I don't want to say that. But I look at what he's done at the NHL level. He's produced. He's played two games. He played last year in Minnesota, and he played in Montreal. He got two assists. He should have had three if that Coyle goal doesn't get wiped out. And he had an empty net goal last year. But he played well besides that in Minnesota last year. So I look at it and I say, okay, well, he's producing right now. When you put him with players, he's producing. So I think we're quick to say that a guy is a bust, because now we're just so used to players coming in at 19 and just dominating.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, there are more ways to make the NHL. There's more than one way to make the NHL, and I think that the long game, it might pay off with this guy.
Okay, so after the Montreal game, you know they were just waiting to come out. Tuukka Rask finally is less than stellar. And really, to be quite honest, he was awful.
It
was like 2 to 3 soft.
He was awful. And of all places to be awful, it was Montreal.
He was as bad as I've seen him.
Yes.
What was the reaction like? Because immediately when that happens, they come out of the woodwork to attack you, correct?
Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy to go at. It's unbelievable. Well, first of all, there was a day of misinformation from 2 to 6 that day.
No.
About how he doesn't win in Montreal. Way. He won 6 games in a row there entering play. It's just not true.
Yeah.
And then they go,
oh, that's funny because I was under just hearing everyone say it, I was under the impression that he sucked there. It's so good.
Yeah, no, it's not true. Okay. They're reciting narratives from 2014. I'm like, right. What are we doing here?
Right.
And then even with this loss, he still has 7 wins in 10 games against Montreal, his last 10 games. It's like, I get what they're saying. I get why they're angry. He played like crap. But you can't ignore 8 great starts.
Yeah.
And then the first bad one go, I told you. No, you can't do it like that. That is ridiculous. So yeah, he wasn't good. I'll say it again so people will stop yelling at me. He wasn't good. But it's the first time he's looked human all year, let alone bad. First time he's looked human all year.
So when you look at the Bruins team, right now you've got, and I don't know if it's changed since they played, highest scorer in the league. You've got Pastrnak scoring more goals than anyone else. Brad, is he most assists right now? Okay, so if he wasn't, like, it was a couple days ago he was. You had until this last game, I think, Tuukka Rask with the best save percentage.
He's now third, 1 percentage.
Wow, 1 game dropped him?
No, he's 1 percentage point behind the top 2 guys.
Okay.
He's got the second best goals against. Pastrnak is still number 1. Marchand, number 3 in the league in points. Pastrnak still number 1 in the league in goals.
Okay, yet we're still finding things to bitch about with this team. If you had to pick one thing that truly you think it could be an Achilles heel right now, what would it be?
It would be that second line and that third line. Who scores there on the right side? Because you ride Pastrnak nightly. Like, that's been a thing that Pastrnak's been playing about 20 to 22 minutes every night. And then you look behind him, who's the next common right winger? Typically, it's Chris Wagner. And he's a fourth liner, and he does a great job in his role. But is that the guy you want with the second most time on ice on the right side? You know, once you get beyond Pastrnak, I don't know. So Brett Ritchie really hasn't given you anything. And when he has a bad night, he has a bad night. Like, you can't play him.
Yeah,
he's that kind of bad. So really, you're looking at Sinishin and Heinen and saying, okay, can these guys be middle six right wingers for your team? Because if not, you have to go in the trade market again. And you have to look at either adding a third line center and then moving Coyle to the right side, right wing, or you have to go out and see what wingers are available. But right now, I think their deadline cap space is like $2 million, and that can go up as the year goes on. But if they don't get, you know, if they don't utilize their cap every day, they might not be able to add, you know, a Taylor Hall if he's available. So that's a question too to follow. That's another issue for them. It's the same thing always. It's that right side. They needed a right winger since Ginla left town. That happened 5 years ago. They still don't have that guy who can be that. So, you know, they really lucked out with Pastrnak being what he is and being the superstar that they got at the end of the first round back in 2014. But getting someone behind him, that remains the biggest thing for this team.
All right, how do you fix the offsides replay?
You get rid of it because, or you institute a time limit. You say, we can only challenge this if the guy who's offside scores the goal and he scores it within 10 seconds of being offside. If it happens 35 to 50 seconds after the zone entry, guess what? Your team had a chance to get rid of the puck.
Yeah.
If they knew how to play defense, they had a chance to defend it and stop it from happening.
Even if they didn't touch it. Like, even if they didn't touch it, you had a chance.
Exactly. Okay. That, or it's a time limit on the review itself. That's 3 minutes they spent looking at that. At a certain point, you're digging. You're not trying to verify. You're trying to take it away.
Jaffe had a kind of interesting idea, and that is any kind of review needs to be in real time.
I love that.
And if you can't tell in real time, then play stands.
It's like the Bigfoot footage. It is the Patterson footage. You're trying to be like, what is happening there?
Yeah.
Like the Coyle goal too. It goes against an NHL rule. The NHL has a rule that if you have the puck in your skates and it's what they consider possession, that's fine. That's a fine zone entry. That's totally legal. And I think if you read the NHL rule that files under, that's a good entry. That shouldn't be wiped away.
Why the hell did they get overturned then?
This is the thing. Nobody knows. Look at Cassie's reaction when they take it away. He just goes, whatever.
He's used to it by now.
He doesn't know. Nobody knows what the standard is for that, for goaltender interference, for any of these reviews. Nobody knows anything. And I thought Cassie brought up a great point talking after Tuesday's game. He says, they challenged that, but I can't challenge the first goal because in the first goal, he believes that a Montreal player cross-checked Tory Krug into Tuukka Rask, which took him out of the play.
Mm-hmm.
You can't challenge that. You couldn't challenge Nola Chari getting kicked out of the play in Game 5 last year. But you can challenge if a guy's, you know, a millimeter offside 45 seconds before a goal is scored. It's stupid. It's so backwards. If you're going to do video review, get it right. Don't do this.
I don't know. I don't even know why they have it in the first place. All right, we'll be back. Ty, if you want to hang out, you can.
Yeah, I'll hang out for one. I'm on the ban after this. I'm Jan 1 after this. So.
Do we have audio of Bird doing something?
If you want to, if you want to do it, we could save it. I don't care.
Well, we can do it.
All right, let's knock that sucker out.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Raps. I'm like a cross between Mighty Mouse and Underdog. I need the Wonder Dog.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson covers the Bruins for 98.5 The Sports Hub.com. All right, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I want to talk about the offsides at the blue line, the replay, and all that. So I'm not a Bruins fan. I do have a problem with the call that was made the other night because I believe was it Coyle that was entering the zone? Who was it that was entering the zone?
It was Coyle.
Offside. Yeah, so. If he'd gotten hit at that moment, that would have been a clean hit because of the possession rule. When the puck's in your skates like that and you're receiving a pass, you've always been allowed to get hit. So that's a possession rule, and possession of the puck is a judgment call on the ref's part, so that's not even reviewable. So I agree that there should be some sort of time limit here because the point of the rule is for like an odd man break. It's for cherry picking. It's all of this. It's not to go back a minute and a half and figure out, oh, well, should this at play have even happened?
It just kills the entertainment aspect of the game.
I don't know when you're calling possession.
It kills the entertainment. When you not only have to stop something and review it for 3 minutes, but even worse, and you said it like earlier in the season, it might have been the DeBrusque one that was the most egregious. I forget which goal it was. But, I mean, there had been 45 seconds between when they actually crossed into the zone and the goal was scored and they went and reviewed it. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that's a good way to do it. 10 seconds should be the maximum. You have 10 seconds. If a goal isn't scored, if it's scored after 10 seconds or 15 seconds, then you shouldn't be able to review it at that point.
That's on you.
Yep. You had your... I love that. That is the best defense of fixing that. And that is, you had your chance to gain possession of the puck once again. You didn't do it. And so, all's fair at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the other part of it, too, is that, to Kevin's point, is that this rule was implemented to prevent egregious errors from happening. Because Matt Duchene scored a goal and he was like 9 feet offside. Yeah. But the refs were down the other end, so didn't even notice it. That is why this rule was put in. It wasn't in to get rid of what would otherwise be clean goals. Like, I joked about it on Twitter, the Bobby Orr goal is probably offside. You want to go back and look at it. Like, there's probably so many historic goals.
Somebody called it. It was joking about that the other day.
There's probably so many historic goals that, you know, these pillars of NHL hockey, what we love about the game, that were offside. That they were, you know, somebody's skate was just a little bit over the line.
All right, I have a question for you. Is that the show is going for a dinner. But then the show, minus me, is going to some, like, dance club, like Booms, Booms, Booms Club.
Yeah.
And Rich is paying for a table for table service.
Well, it's just how you all get in. When you pay,
it's a place to sit. He knows what table service is.
Yes.
Would you go to a place with table service?
No, I would not. What does it do for me? I get a Coke? I can buy my own Coke.
Yeah, you don't drink.
Exactly.
Would you go to a club like that?
No, I don't fit in that place.
See, I tend to agree.
I don't like that. You meet terrible people there. Everyone smells.
It's way more fun than you think it's going to be. Everyone smells at a rock concert.
No, it's a different kind of smell.
You said like you saw people coming around the Interrupter show.
Yeah, but they know they smell. But they know they didn't. They know they smell bad. These people think they smell good and they don't. Have you ever left the Royale after a rock show and seen the line of dudes waiting to get in?
Yes.
And you're like, ooh, that's a lot of cologne.
I'm telling you, it's one of the biggest shocks is going to a place like that. How much fun you actually have. Yeah. Especially if you're with, like, you know, significant others and stuff like that. Like, if you're just a bunch of bros, it's weird. But if you're with, like, your significant others and girlfriends and wives, it's a blast.
Why would I take my wife there, though? Like, what do I want
because to look
wife?
At other because women and be like, look at these other women.
Because it's fun, yeah. It's like loud, it like, takes you over. It's like an assault on the senses. It's like going to the loudest rock show you've ever gone to.
I don't know. With the
craziest light show you've ever seen.
I just don't know when this happened to Rich that he was.
Yeah, you're a club guy now.
Yeah, I know. Like
it's fun as hell.
You're like a club guy
because
now.
It's great and it's not even a guilty pleasure. It's a pleasure. Like it's fun as hell.
I don't know. I can't do that.
I couldn't do it either.
See, I've always loved metal shows because almost the same kind of reason. I like when you're just completely, you can't escape the sensory overload. I love that.
Yeah, I would go to a metal show with you.
In a mosh pit and like it being like, I love that part of it. And it's almost the same feeling when you go to these places where it's floor to screen, like video monitors and stuff spinning over your head and the music
and
is cranking and you're drunk and it's great. I do.
I don't need to hear the Zombie Nation.
It's not Zombie Nation.
The Stevie. I don't need to hear that, though. I don't know. I skip that. I'll go to a metal concert with you. I'm not going to go to a club with table service, though. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. No good is going to come out of that, too. That's the other part.
Have you ever done it?
No, because I don't. There's no need.
I want to go once. This is not something I'm going. And I just to people watch and see what the scene is like once.
It's almost like it's borderline
not make it
impossible.
A habit. The cover charges alone will kill me.
Not to enjoy
no reason
yourself.
For it.
How much is it going to cost you?
Well, you see, the money that you pay to get in goes towards your drinks.
Okay, a lot of people have told me that you get one bottle of vodka.
Fred, I've done this before. Like,
okay,
if you get
I
a table, that, if the table costs you, let's say, $1,000, but 10 people get in. That money goes towards $1,000 worth of liquor.
Okay, I don't think that's correct.
I've done it a bunch.
If I get like chicken fingers, I'd probably go.
Yeah,
there you go.
If you can find a way to get,
you can get
I'm with
and
you.
Get food, it just goes towards your tax.
And then everyone leaves me alone.
I have a feeling there's someone paying.
Can't hear
you're unaware of.
Doesn't matter. Fred, I've done it in different cities.
I know. I think you're mistaken. I think you're mistaken. I'm not going to get in an argument with it. You might be right. I just think it happened to think you're mistaken.
Every time that I've done it, that's the way it's been.
Okay.
They bring over a bottle of Stoli, and they're like, yeah, pour it yourself, and they walk away.
Yeah, and then they give you mixers. Yeah. Carter, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
I just wanted to say that the refs are bendy in the NHL. They're real bent.
Bendy.
I don't get it.
I don't know, but I like it.
Tomatoes.
Steve, go ahead.
Rich, are you guys are going to Encore?
We're going around there, yes.
Okay. First of all, that place is a hellhole.
Sing it, my brother.
Wall to wall packed. The music's so loud your drink spills if you put it on the table. And third of all, you guys are all way too old to be there.
I agree with all those things.
Well,
I agree with that last thing for sure.
Did you get table service?
I'm with you. I did not get table
service. Well, there you
go. What's the point of
doing it wrong then?
Yeah, but you won't be in the crowd. They won't even bring your bottle. It takes an hour to get to you.
No, it doesn't. Not when you have a table.
Bathroom, you gotta pee on the ground. Okay.
That's why all the drinks light up. It clears the path, and they come right to you. It's like going to the Rainforest Cafe, and you get the volcano, and it's your birthday.
Yeah. I would rather go to the Rainforest Cafe than go to a club.
Rainforest Cafe.
These
sucks.
Are people who have
sit right
done
behind the elephant, just yelling in my ear.
You're speaking like I did before I did it, and it is way more fun than you think.
Rich, I was just there. It's honestly,
you were a nickel and dimer. Didn't have tables.
Hate it. Fred's gonna hate it. Don't make
Fred's not going.
I'm not going,
and I'm not making him go.
No, I would never in a million years go get table service somewhere. I would never in a million years go to a club like that.
But you've sat in like a club seats where they brought you drinks at like a game.
I've been to lounges where they brought you club seats, but it was much more chill. It wasn't like
it's the same thing. It's just
it's not. It was a way more chill, and it was like different music. It wasn't a dancing situation. Like you could sit at tables. I don't know how you can do it. I would lose my mind. How do you like this?
And the buildup and the lights and the monitors and the confetti and the lasers and here comes on the screen.
The Wallachead.
It's meant for Wallachead people
left,
on ecstasy.
Wallachead right. Wallachead, Wallachead, Wallachead right. It's going to be all over that club, John Wallach. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to give him a big screen cap of your big head with the gap in the middle. And it's gonna, 1,000 Wallachads.
All the ladies will come looking for me.
There's a Beasley holiday party. It's a show. I thought it was going to be our party this year. Lil Jon is playing. I would have done that. Now, that sounds like it'd be a
Where
lot of fun.
Where did you hear about this?
It was on one of the other stations in the building. They got a party. But it's not. No, it's a show. It's not the party. But I saw it and went, yo, that's our holiday party this year. Yeah,
skis,
Lil Jon and Fat Man Scoop.
The Beasley holiday party is going to have Lil Jon?
It's not. No. I thought it did. I thought it was going to. I read the ad incorrectly. It's a show that one of the other stations is putting on.
I couldn't. I think Lil Jon is still a fairly successful producer, if I'm not mistaken. Alex, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Hey.
Hey, so first off, to that last caller's point that you guys are too old, that's crap. I saw, like, a couple in their 60s at Encore slow dancing in the middle of everybody jumping around. They're having a grand old time. And second off, Fred, what kind of Instagram influencer are you if you won't even go out with the people?
The people don't go to that club. Listen, if I'm sitting at a bar doing rails off of it, you can come by and say hello anytime. I don't do
well, that. Again, there's a difference between the greatest bar and, again, going to a club like Memoir. I think you need to go out just for the influencer standpoint.
Well, as an influencer,
you influence nobody at this point.
I'm influencing everybody. Have you seen my new shoes?
Come on.
What do you call it?
You can't say your wife and kids.
What do you call it, the shoes? The color...
crap, that's what you call them.
Reebok pumps?
No, the color...
Granimals? Buster Browns?
They're not Granimals.
Colorways?
It's not colorways.
I know what they're called, Fred.
I'm not doing that.
Yes, you are.
All right, let me see here. All right. Whatever the thing is, I got cool shoes now.
and everyone wants to buy them.
And I put them up.
They offer the biggest ball pit in the New England.
That's what it feels like. You're in the biggest ball pit in the New England. Like everyone's jumping around.
Brian, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, I apologize if you already talked about it, because I have been listening since 7:30. But how come you guys haven't touched on Paul Stanley reading books on the Kiss Cruise to kids in his pajamas?
Hang on, what?
What?
Whoa, I didn't
Paul
know that.
On the recent Kiss cruise, Paul Stanley was in his pajamas reading books to kids.
Really?
You have next week's show right
it's
now.
It's on blabbermouth.net.
Interesting.
Okay, well, then I'm going to have to obviously do a little...
Do you ever see Paul Stanley's
Reddit?
It was
the night before Christmas, and I was in a chimney. His vocalist and guitarist, Paul Stanley, watched cartoons and read a story to kids on the final night of the Kiss cruise.
We watched Fritz the Cat.
Oh, no, that, you do not want to watch Fritz the Cat. That is not.
Oh, yeah, kids, if you'll excuse me. I gotta make my way to your parents' room. To the man cave.
The man cave. I'm not quite sure.
They had a Kiss pinball machine, so I climbed up in it and put my face where my face would normally be.
This is way better than I even dreamed. He's wearing pajamas. He's dressed almost like a cow. Like...
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house there was a bunch of dudes.
No, that's not how it goes. Paul Stanley,
what?
No. All the house, not a creature was stirring.
Silent night.
Glory, holy night.
What? No, come on. Silent night.
Yes.
Naked night. All is safe in the hamper.
Okay, well, I don't know why you're still hiding in the hamper.
Paul, the star child reindeer. I had a shiny nose. Because I had a flashlight.
Okay, yes, that is.
Ooh, what's going on in there? Hey, you know I love the military.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I love the military. You know why?
Why?
Night vision goggles. Okay,
yeah, do you use those often? I don't know why you would use those as like a citizen. Just
I went to... Hey. I went to basic training. You know why?
Why?
They teach you how to crawl.
Be very stealth.
I'm stealth!
Now, why do you have to be stealth?
Well, you gotta climb under the bed. If they have an alarm system, you gotta be able to maneuver through it.
That's really creepy.
Oh, cool, a man cave. Yeah, all right, I'll be back later. Shh. My face is the dartboard. Punish me. Oh, no. Look, there's a bearskin rug. Ooh, look where you stepped. Oh, my genitalia.
See, I don't know why all of a sudden you are.
I love pleasure to be is humiliated.
Is this pleasure is pain, Paul Stanley?
Oh, yeah.
This is warm leatherette, Paul Stanley.
Sure. Okay, all right. Oh, I fell in the rose bushes.
Okay, you're just doing it to yourself then, just on accident.
Yeah. That's why I got a rose tattoo. I love pain.
All right, Rich, we have the...
thank you, by the way, Ty Anderson.
See you, Ty.
Anytime. All right, what do we have coming up, Rich?
Okay, we have... I had it right in front of me. Something amazing that'll blow your mind. I don't know.
All right.
I completely lost my stuff.
All right. There, we're coming up with the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what do we miss?
Well, a couple years ago, when he was still doing Monday Night Football, it was leaked out that John Gruden was the highest paid employee at ESPN. And even if he was still there making the same amount of money, he would no longer be that person because Stephen A. Smith has just signed a massive 5-year deal with ESPN that will bring him how much a year?
I know, $8 million. But he deserves it.
What is that Stephen A. Smith?
Always ass.
Yes, that's right. I know that you're like that.
I'm a bottom feeder.
You are a bottom feeder.
And then when I found out what a bottom feeder meant,
It's super gross.
It's pretty gross. So he has inked this brand new deal. They're saying 5 years worth $8 million. God knows they use him in a million different ways.
That guy is working constantly. And if they value him that much, he's worth every penny.
And as much as we joke about him, like, you know, he came in studio one time and the guy was... He was a good guy. He was great.
I don't care if I don't care if he's the worst broadcaster in the world. If they feel like they want to use him that much and he's willing to do it, I mean, $8 million. If you would have told me it was more, I wouldn't have been surprised.
In other news involving much of the same, Fox has announced that Chris Carter, no longer with the network. He recently had a blow-up with his bosses, and I guess he was escorted out of the building, according to reports.
Did he, the whole way out, did he go,
and he had this eyes look of surprise. Oh, I don't know about this. You got to have a fall guy. When you get fired from Fox, you got to have a fall guy.
I don't think he's in much of a position to start going after his bosses.
Now, this could end up being the most glorious disaster that we could all pray for. There is a report from Ian Rappaport that a leading candidate for the new head coach of Florida State job is none other than Deion Sanders.
One,
I mean, how unbelievable are those post-game press conferences going to be?
My vocabulary isn't inept enough.
Well, just besides that, I mean, the credentials, the fact that he started his own charter school that was promptly shut down by... either the city of Dallas or the state of Texas.
Yes.
The idea that he has had his children do things on camera. Oh, didn't, like, when he was signing, like, divorce papers or something like that? Or he had his kids, like, there? Or he was, oh, no, he was signing, like, some, like, legal document that someone had accused him of something, and he had his kids in there, to, like, while they were being taped. So, yeah, he's a great guy.
Has he ever coached?
He coached his kid in high school.
I mean, has he ever coached?
No.
Okay.
Well, there's been, what was the guy's name? Who was the guy that coached Notre Dame before Holds?
Was that O'Leary, the guy who lasted like three weeks before they checked his resume?
No, because he had coached at Georgia Tech.
Is it Faust?
There was a guy right before Lou Holtz that was a high school coach that Notre Dame hired. So it has happened in the past. It happens in basketball sometimes. But, yeah.
But, I mean, that is a massive program he'd be taking over.
Yeah, and it will be... They probably figure he'll be able to recruit like a maniac.
Okay, you know what this sounds to me like? It sounds like when the Lakers got Magic Johnson to be their GM. Like, you don't really care about the person's skill to be able to do the job. You want a face to be able to recruit.
Well, he won't coach. Well, the idea would be that he doesn't coach. The idea would be he's Paterno at the end of his career, where he's just walking... down the sidelines.
Wearing a headset and everyone else is doing the work.
No, he didn't wear a headset.
It was Jerry Faust. He coached at Muller High School in Ohio before they hired him.
Yeah, and he was like this great high school coach.
Yeah, for like 18 years, and then they said,
Okay.
Did not do well, by the way.
No, he was terrible. I remember he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yes. They were like, bad idea.
Yep.
So if they did it, which I don't think they will, but he would essentially stand on the sidelines and be a recruiter, but I don't think he would settle into that role. I would think that he'd want to be like the coach.
Who does Ian Rappaport work for now?
NFL Network.
Yep. Methinks his source on that story was none other than he's an NFL Network.
I was reading
guy
this,
too.
And you're right, Fred. He'd be a figurehead. You got to surround him with really experienced guys that can help him with X's and O's, and he'd be the closer. You're close on a recruit. Yeah. Deion, we need you to come in and close this down. And Deion shows up in a living room, and it's showtime.
What's odd, though, is that he could do that without having any affiliation to the program. I mean, he could just be a guy that he could be your closer. Like they do. I mean, there's programs where they take the guys that made it pro and they help out with the whole thing.
Well, it was one of the most head-scratching of rock star marriages. Supermodel Paulina Poroskova and the late Rick Ocasek, and it sounds like Rick Ocasek didn't like her at all because, according to reports, he cut his ex-wife out of his will. Actually, I don't even know if it was ex. They were estranged. So I think they were still technically married.
I saw them together eating with their son in Maryland.
Cut them out of his will, claiming that she, quote, abandoned him. This is a now public document. Quote, I have made no provision for my wife, Paulina Poroskova, as we are in the process of divorcing. He said, even if I should die before our divorce is final, Paulina is not entitled to any elective share because she has abandoned me.
Apparently, Dan's telling me he did it a month before he died. So
it's almost like he knew.
Or he gave it to, he probably just changed it to give it to the kids. But I never thought that that was odd. I mean, if you're a rock star and a super talented guy, I mean, that makes up for a lot of looks.
I don't know, man. I think it's just seeing them side by side. Like, what was stranger looking to you? Those two are Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley.
Well, the worst was Loud Love, because Loud Love is truly disgusting.
Julia Roberts, right?
And Julia Roberts.
And at the time, Julia Roberts was the biggest star on the planet.
A huge star. The Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley thing, it's like, if you're Christie Brinkley, like, do you even care about looks anymore? I mean, like, you just are surrounded with beautiful people all the time. You know, here's this guy you probably find wildly talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart. You know, he's hung well enough.
He's three apples high.
I mean, he did Uptown Girl with her, so, I mean, how could you not fall in love?
Sure, and all his friends snapping.
Uptown Girl. Billy Joel with a lot of holes in the catalog.
I said something the other night. He was playing at Fenway, and I was at an event that was right next to it, and a couple of my friends were saying, oh, yeah, Billy Joel there. And I say, Billy Joel's one of those guys. This is my opinion. A bunch of people are not going to agree with me. I think he had a bunch of good songs. Did he really have a great song? People will say Piano Man. That song's annoying.
No, well, that's unfair because it's been played so many times. But
did he have a great song? Like one that is...
So the fact that it's played a lot doesn't make it great?
I don't think it's a great song anyway, but I think that I'm giving a benefit of a doubt to him.
But that's because that's, to me, the closest you're going to get to, like, a great song.
See, I think Pressure was a really, really good song.
I agree.
Pressure's all right.
No, Pressure's good.
Yeah, but
moving out.
When we
didn't start the fire is awful.
What's the song? You should never argue. Is that all you get?
That's Moving Out.
Yeah, Moving Out's a good song. The Ballad of Jesse,
Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid is a good song.
That is a good song. It
goes too long.
Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, that's a good song.
We didn't start the fire.
No, that's
yeah, we didn't start the fire. Things, you want to talk about annoying. Things. That's annoying. Yes. Well,
it's so stupid because he's talking about like these wars and stuff, and then he goes,
Rock and roll to Cola Wars. I can't take it anymore. Wow, these Cola Wars are driving me crazy.
They've blown Pepsi, my mind.
Pepsi versus Coke.
It just shows how divisive our economic system is.
Right. It's
like,
so
how did you keep that in the song?
I know. Of all the lines. Oh, speaking of...
And it ends the song.
Speaking of Cola Wars, did you see what the brand new soda that Coca-Cola is releasing is called?
I saw you tweet it.
Yep. Aha.
That's the name of it. And we have the perfect spokesperson.
Aha.
There you go.
We should have him do ads for Coke.
be my guest
next week.
Do it early next week, guys. Come on.
I mean, hey, which flavor do you like the best, Sarge?
But it's still all good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
All right, we have to break. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on with Zolak and Bertrand.
The Sports Hub.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
And 5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
I told you you're invited, Zolak. You gotta go.
Yep. Zolak just showed Rich a video of him dancing around at 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Ultimate thrill ride right here.
I've seen you dancing at the Super Bowl parties.
Self?
There's videos of you by yourself. I mean,
tell you what, man. Gucci Mane came out. Oh, Jesus.
Nice. Yeah. I couldn't tell you one Gucci Mane song. I couldn't.
Doesn't matter.
could you, Fred? Do you know a Gucci Mane song? I know who he is, but I couldn't tell you. I probably heard like 10 of his songs. He's probably one of those guys featured on everything, but I don't know.
Migos and all them? Oh, man.
No, I know that. No, I know that. Migos. But Gucci Mane, I couldn't tell you one of his songs.
Worst ever was this past year, but I had my 14-year-old
14-year-old at the postgame party with me. She was right upstage when Snoop came out. And Snoop's guy, with the guy with the green suit.
Yeah.
And he pulled out this 15-foot thing attached to the front of his pants. It was about a foot wide and had a massive thing at the end of it. I just said, my daughter saw that. Oh, my God.
He was a pimp. It's done.
She goes, it's good.
Don the Magic
I'd
Wand.
I've seen it all, Dad.
Yep. Was that Don the Magic Wand? Or was that, was
it was out. And I'm like, why do you really need that?
The guy in the green is Don the Magic Wand.
Yeah,
right?
And Freeloader is his uncle that he takes with him.
Okay.
Yeah. That's that. His uncle just stands there and points at people in the crowd.
Remember that thing, Dennis? Guy.
Yeah.
I know guys that were at an all-star game, the Major League All-Star game in San Diego, and Snoop was performing, and one of the guys like had stuff he had to do backstage, and Snoop had a just had in like an RV back there that it was like his dressing room, and he was sitting in a lawn chair with like eight girls around him just smoking weed, and he's like just hands them the joint and goes they did not enjoy themselves.
Plenty to go around.
Nope. And it was a strain that is not for people that don't smoke constantly.
It's like getting high with Willie Nelson. You can't do it.
Yeah, it's once your tolerance is up to that high, it's no fun.
What time did you bang out yesterday?
Like, for the show?
On my way to the show.
On your way to the show?
On my way to the show.
Joe Murray held it down. He was good.
Joe Murray comes in. He's like, because he done got a job, so he's off the bench.
Dude, you're so right on him. I never noticed that. He doesn't move.
Nope.
No.
He didn't move it. We have an alarm for when he gets up.
I think he lets himself
Didn't touch it once yesterday.
But if someone on Twitter calls him out for like being out of shape or something, he's like, I'm 6'3", like 500 pounds, and I can kick your ass.
Yeah, I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could.
But well, like,
I never noticed.
He'd have to have some lateral quickness.
He never moves. He doesn't move.
Nope.
Head doesn't turn. It's like too much effort.
No, he loves it. He loves to sit.
He didn't move fast because he didn't have to move fast.
Pasta Joe messaged me.
He wants to get a Wheaties tattoo.
He said, where'd you get Tom Brady hat? Where can I get that trucker hat, the new TB12 hat? I'm like, what are you going to do wearing it? Like, you got to work out to get that hat, man.
Where is it? Google it.
I told him, TB12 Sports.
Yeah, just Google it.
It just came out for Christmas.
Sounds like an excuse just to message the Zone Man.
I was floored. It's a Pasta Joe.
Doesn't sound like something that required your expertise.
They're my two favorite. I seek him out and... You want to go down wormholes? Facebook, Mike Bond and Mike Callahan, and his girlfriend, Bridget.
One of the things I'm truly glad you do to me, that you do for me, is to send the pictures of Mike Bond and Mike Callahan.
They went off on Halloween night. Like, he dressed up, and she took pictures, and I'm going to stab things.
Did he paint his teeth white and go as a normal person?
No, he did Michael Myers thing. Everything was white. Everything was white that night.
All right.
Is he from England?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.